This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes regroup.
Got a new character that almost died. That was kind of exciting. Did you have a third character prepared?
No.
And seek to unravel a great mystery.
Now, I think I've given you enough episodes where you haven't been able to name this. What have you decided to call this bear?
Things get a little weird.
I've been wanding her and myself while you guys have been talking.
Not dirty at all.
Fetchling. A fetchling. What the hell is happening in this episode? What are we doing?
And the true horror of the Vault of Thorns is revealed.
It's filled with hummus.
Are there pitas to go with it? Or?
No, there are no pitas.
Is there any wine?
Oh, no, I knew this place was evil.
It truly is evil.
Without hummus, without pita.
The adventure continues with no pita. Now.
Hello, friends. Come, gather round. Let us sit and listen to another episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. What's going on, guys? Joe here to welcome you to episode 53 of the show. Excited to just get into another week of role-playing and watching Troy slowly decimate us one by one. I do have actually a lot of work to do in this intro. This intro is packed with content. So let me get to it quickly, and I will get you guys into the episode as soon as I can. First, I want to talk about our YouTube channel. So Glass Cannon Podcast now has a new YouTube channel, and we really need the subscriber numbers. So we'd love for you guys to go check it out at Glass Cannon Podcast on the old YouTube and hit us up with a subscribe. It'll be great to get us started. We are going to have old episodes of the GCP up on there with a little tweaked with some images maybe. And then we are going to also be publishing the Twitch that Troy is running of Dark Souls 3. I join him on a lot of those, and you can find those on the YouTube channel as well. Speaking of the Twitch, if you don't have Twitch, you don't sign up for it, get signed up and follow us on the Glass Cannon Podcast on Twitch, because these episodes of Troy and I doing Dark Souls 3, they're just a way for you to interact with us, get a little bit more of your GCP content. We get a chance to answer your questions sometimes live while we're playing. And in general, you get to see how awful Troy is at Dark Souls 3. So it's really, really worth your time. Hey, how about that t-shirt contest? Remember 3 weeks ago, we, as a celebration for our 50th episode, we wanted to give away some free t-shirts to listeners. So we asked you a series of tough questions, and the responses were fantastic. We got so many. It was really humbling. You guys are awesome. So many people that paid so close attention to the show and people that went back and listened through to find the right answers. Those questions were pretty tough. And in some cases, we realized after the fact, a little bit vague, but we do have some winners. The contest is over. I want to congratulate Zach Bywater, Chris Sterner, and Nicholas Pond for your slate of correct answers in a timely fashion that got you free t-shirts from the GCP. So they are coming in the mail. Next order of business, the bear. Now, the bear has been, you know, I'm terrible with names and I have no creative ability whatsoever. And the bear has been nameless for far too long. And we reached out to the fans and we got a lot of great suggestions. And I will tell you, spoiler alert, the bear gets named in this episode. But first, I wanted to talk about a couple names that make it to the honorable mentions list. These are unfortunately not the names of Lorik's bear, but they were great options. And I just want to give a shout out to the listeners that threw them out there. First, I want to shout out to Matt Cook for his Tyler Berry suggestion. I love that one. Patrick Jones for his pictures of Jola. He wanted us to name the bear Jola. Well, that's not funny. What's the point of that? Nope, he sent us along a series of amazing pictures of his dog, who's named Jola, that people often confuse for being a bear cub. The dog was absolutely adorable and actually did look like a bear cub. It was kind of disturbing. AJ Beebe, longtime fan of the show, tweets in and says, hey, how about we call him 20? It would give Joe a chance to say a high number. Oh, burn on me. But that was a good one. I want to shout out to my buddy Grant Berger, the player behind Baron Redheart. He had a great idea early on. He said, Joe, why don't you go with Marion Barry? That was solid as well. And finally, our last honorable mention, and this was the runner-up for the name of the bear, which will be revealed this week. Eddie Mason, you were so close with the Big Lebowski. Now that, I gotta say, was it's a personal thing. I am a huge Lebowski fan. I'm a huge cultist of that movie. And I just loved the idea of a bear that I could just call the dude who just had no interest in this aggression, man. This aggression will not stand. Thanks for giving me endless ideas for great jokes with that one, Eddie Mason. But sorry, that was not the name of the bear. What was it? Well, keep listening and you're going to find out. And lastly, and this is on a more serious note, we wanted to let our fan Matt Ireland know that he's in our thoughts. He's been going through a rough time. And honestly, we just hope that episode 53 of the GCP can give you a much needed laugh, Matt. All right. This one's for you, buddy. Thanks so much for listening. And we know there's light at the end of the tunnel. All right. That brings us to episode 53 of the Glass Cannon Podcast. Let's get going.
Moss Moon.
We caught Troy's warm up.
I'm on the air right now. I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
Lanolin?
Wait, no, not you, her. What's your name?
Scotchy Scott Scotch, down into my belly.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
That's how we warm up every episode.
Every episode.
Well, I think we should just keep this. I think that's the opening of the show.
Just, gold.
This is the perfect day to play Pathfinder, I think. It's like a rainy Saturday.
Yeah.
I just want a fucking game. How's everybody doing? Everybody's got full health, right?
Fuck you, Troy.
No.
Yeah, so here we are in the greenhouse. I guess we're starting this thing. Got a new character that almost died.
Yeah,
thanks for that.
Her second episode or first? That was her first, like, real episode.
First episode.
Coming of age story.
Her first combat, we can say.
Her first combat. That was kind of exciting. Did you have a third character prepared?
No.
No.
In fact, I did not.
Well,
just use all the exact same stats and equipment and everything and just give it a new name.
Oh, that was what I was planning on doing.
Yeah.
Like, Mella.
Cousins.
Or Bormley. This is a witch called Bormley.
I'm pretty interested to see how many alternate characters are buried in the trees in this room. Because we're just going to keep on coming back to this room and getting new alternate
characters. Let's go back to the new character room.
And then we also have the bear. Now, I think I've given you enough episodes where you haven't been able to name this. We've got a lot of great suggestions. I'm putting you on the spot. What have you decided to call this bear? Because I'm tired of calling it bear.
We're going to call it... we're going to call it... Barry Connick Jr.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And I'm just going to let Skid run with the crooner stuff.
Zibbity-boo. Oh, that is fantastic. So now we have Lork, Galabras, Baron, Della, and Barry Connick Jr. How do you spell that?
B-E-A-R-Y.
Barry Connick Jr.
Barry Connick.
K-O.
It's not B-E. C-O. It's not B-E-A-R space E period Connick Jr. It's just Barry, like with a Y?
Yeah. It's just Barry. Okay. He's a Barry kind of creature.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Connick Jr. Yeah. True story, the singer Harry Connick Jr. also possesses the diehard feet. I don't know if you know that's all people.
Wait, I have a question.
New Orleans.
The noob in the room has a question.
Go ahead, noob.
Are all the animals in the Pathfinder universe named after famous entertainers?
I think so. We'll find out when this bear dies in three episodes.
All the companion animals, I think.
Oh, they just...
Because they're all linked by his deity. So, I mean, it's probably some kind of divine...
Oh, I see.
You know, sign from God or something.
Right. His God, yeah, he has a
sign
way.
From Gorum.
Yeah.
Sign from Gorum.
He likes
naming his creatures after entertainers.
Lork worships Gorum and Skid worships, doesn't it? Also, Galabras does as well. Baron, you mentioned recently...
Torag.
Torag. You brought out that holy symbol.
By the benevolent hammer of Torag.
Last episode. Della, does Della have any faith?
Della is an atheist.
Oh.
Whoa.
That is a bold choice in a world in which gods demonstrably exist.
Well, see,
No, it's perfect.
Bold choice.
Here is how I actually reason it to myself. Yes, fair enough. But in a world where all the gods have influence, Della and her father worshipped none.
So are you a true neutral character? Because I was reading about where true neutral characters go when they die in this world. And they go to, like, basically a blank white room with nothing happening. Like, it's crazy. It's really interesting. What is do you have an alignment? You
chaotic share? Neutral.
Chaotic are you, neutral. Is Lork also chaotic neutral?
Yes.
I'm the only good character, right?
Yes.
I think I'm chaotic good. Are you chaotic? Or maybe good? I'm neutral. I don't remember.
Look at your sheet. It's on there.
Oh, thanks.
You know, alignment is something I don't think we pay enough attention to, and it's pretty important, you know, playing to your alignment. Obviously, none of you are evil, so you're not outright just murdering civilians. But there's a big difference between good and neutral. And so what is Baron?
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally lied.
You are
sorry. I worship Drongvit.
Wait, really?
What? Got his god wrong.
Can't believe it.
Wait, do you really?
Yeah, I do.
No, but in the last episode, you said you brought out a holy symbol of Torak.
I think I may have said Drongvit.
Nope.
I think
I looked. You definitely nope, said Torak.
Just heard listened Torak. To it. You said Torak.
I'm sorry. Mother it's now part of the...
Not canon.
Yeah, it's canon.
Yep.
That or you have to get stricken down by one of them.
Now,
I would imagine.
If Torak fails you, then you can go through a religious change to Drongvit. If you so choose. But in the eyes of the listeners and your companions and that lurker in light.
It's been Drongvit on my sheet since the beginning.
I've never even heard of Drongvit.
Yeah,
I don't. That's because he's a dwarven deity, the goddess of debt, pursuit, and vengeance, of so which I am on the hot trail.
The goddess of debt?
Well, debt, that sounds like pursuit, something I should vengeance. Worship.
Well, maybe she's like your patron saint.
And Drongvit is Torag's half-sister. I think that's why I got confused.
Well, that's an easy mistake.
I'm at a dollar for every time I make that one.
There's only 85 gods in this game, so, you know.
My sister's name is Jesus, and it screws up everything. I get so confused.
It's on a roll.
All right, so you guys, I guess we should...
throw rocks tonight.
We could just joke the whole episode.
Yeah, yeah. Play. Fuck the game.
You guys are in this greenhouse... It's difficult terrain all over the place. You've got big trees, you've got little trees, you've got animals lurking about, one of which has now joined the party, Barry Connick Jr. You found a new companion, Della, who is a 17-year-old Felcher? What is it? Fetchling?
Come on.
Oh, God. I can't remember. Felchling?
Fetchling.
Fetchling, that's what it is. A very fetching felch. That's really hard to say. God. I'm not doing this on purpose. Fetchling. A fetching fetchling.
Fetchling.
Fetching fetchling.
What is a fetchling? I've never heard of a fetchling.
They are basically half human, half creature from the shadow plane.
Okay.
So they are.
And
do they just look like humans?
They're humanoid. They look like they're very pale. They're very like translucent. They don't have a lot of color to them because the shadow plane is kind of like devoid of.
So are they kind of translucent? You can kind of see through them?
Well, I mean, her skin would be just kind of like, it's opaque, but it's like not colored.
It's like you can see her veins and shit. I put Joe on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot too. Oh, have you cast Della yet?
I have not.
Okay. I'm going to give you to the end of the episode.
No, hold on. I'm mourning. I'm in mourning.
Della's not in mourning. If anything, Della's very excited. She's found some new friends.
But she doesn't know who actresses are.
That's true.
She doesn't know anything. She's been stuck in this plane for how long?
Stuck in a timeless plane for who knows how long.
Yeah.
But she hasn't aged a day.
The sun never sets here and she's still that pale? What are we talking about here? You'd have a sweet tan at this point.
That's true. But she was under the boughs of the trees.
She was in a tree.
In a tree.
Maybe she has like a tan line where she's just like a little more opaque, but it's like from where the tree was... Where she was in the tree and out of the tree?
Well, you've got about 52 minutes to cast her.
You're such an
think
asshole.
About it. You know, it's tough, too, because I don't think I know you haven't had a chance to really properly mourn Gormley, haven't had a chance to properly mourn Ben Vereen, And you also haven't a chance to like properly get to know this companion who is now with you. But what's going to happen if you guys survive the vault? Is she going to stay with the party? And there's really no time to deal with this until you finish your mission in the vault. But for the time being, she seems to be with you guys, although not super helpful last battle.
She almost did take care of the Lurker in Light in one hit.
That's true. That is very true. And she almost got devoured by a Tendriculus.
So did Galabras.
That's true.
And she was stabbing it from inside, too.
Yeah, that's true. I was swinging. Question for you. Is it still the same day that Gormley and Benvereen died?
No. Well,
no. Yeah, we rested.
Yes, you guys rested, but like the days are...
Right.
You don't
eternal days.
That's the other thing is like you guys don't know when you come out of the vault how much time has passed.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good point.
It could be,
years.
You could have gone back in time and Roderick is still alive.
I'm going to go back in.
Just back to the tug of war. wow. All right. We've stalled.
If I knew then what I know now.
We've stalled long enough. You guys are in this greenhouse. Lorik just dealt the killing blow to the Tendriculus. Love that name. And then I believe you crit. To slice it to open, and Galabras and Gormley just blah, came out of it. Galabras was paralyzed. He finally came to channeled, but I think I know Della is pretty messed up. Was one round away from permadeath.
Yeah, I'm awake now, but I'm pretty messed up.
So, what do you guys want to do?
Is there an exit to this room?
Not that you can see.
Well, the way we came in.
Yeah, the way you came in is the only thing you know.
Is there another? The large tree in the back of the room that the Tendriculus was next to, is that like another hollow tree, like the one that we came out of? Is it a similar size?
Roll a perception check.
Okay. Natural 20.
Oof. Natural 19, so like...
28.
20.
25.
Well, since 9. Della got the natural 20, but both Baron and Lork would also notice that, sure enough, the giant hollow tree on the opposite side of the room is also, there's some branches and brambles in front of it. It's concealing a staircase leading into the tree.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Can I do a perception check just around the remains of the Tendriculus to see if it ate any other awesome adventurers that had
magic weapons?
It ate a bunch of magic weapons and gold. Find 40 platinum pieces.
What about the fishing lure?
Yeah, where is that? I want to find my bowl.
There's so much stuff all over the place. You don't see anything. You would assume.
So much stuff all over the place. You don't see anything.
Sorry.
You realize that didn't really.
Well, what I mean is, like.
Listen to yourself.
You basically threw a penny into a forest. You know what I mean? You're not going to find your lore.
I mean, it's not like a metaphor.
Maybe the Tendriculus grabbed it. Maybe it was Barry Manilow. Not Barry Manilow.
That was the runner-up.
Barry Connick Jr.
It was Mary and Barry.
A lot of good ones.
I think my bear cub grabbed the lore from the top of the tree, snapped the line, took the rod. You really are just ridiculous.
I'm Tendriculus.
Can I?
I'll give you to the end of the episode to tell me where that fucking lore is.
All right, roll a 100 on a perception check, and I'll let you find that needle in the haystack that is this greenhouse.
Can I do some sort of alchemy check to learn any nature of this weird creature to see if there's any poison or anything like that in there?
So you
can extract it like spider venom?
I see where this is going.
No, I'm not going to try to extract necessarily. I'm trying to learn more about our enemy.
Sure. It's more going to be knowledge nature, not quite alchemy.
Okay, so I'll use my fisherman profession skill, too.
I'll do a knowledge nature. I can do that. 14.
You don't know anything. But, I mean, these guys went through it, so you understand that it just has this acidic... acidic insides that were enough to not only burn your body, mm-hmm. but possibly paralyze you.
Like any other living creature.
Yep.
If it was big enough.
And we get a sense that we definitely know that fire stopped it from healing as characters, or do we just know that because you told us as Dungeon Masters?
Well,
we could kind of see that its wounds stopped healing up after
right.
it got
I mean,
hit
it was
by
regenerating
fire.
Every six seconds, and... it was fire, yeah.
And we can figure... Stopped.
In a forest.
We can figure right. that anything here, plant-based, is going to be vulnerable to fire. I mean, we right. would assume that anyway.
And I'm running low on fire bullets.
All right, so did you cast her yet? No? All right, 45 minutes.
I really do want to hear from the fans on this one, Troy.
we've already had so many great suggestions.
It's true.
You can't use Saoirse Ronan.
She is the only. She is the only actress of that age that exists.
Oh, it's true. She's 17. Well, bear in mind too. She's like, that it doesn't have to be like an actress who is currently 17 years
That's
old.
True.
You can pick any actress in history at
like young Natalie Portman from the professional Natalie Portman.
It should be a redheaded girl who got cast in Taxi, really young.
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, there we go. It should be Jodie Foster.
Not bad. Actually.
That's not bad.
I'll take it under advisement.
A young Jodie Foster.
Yeah,
We didn't open up the pool to that kind of world. So now my mind is blown.
She does sort of seem like a half shadow beast. Sort of.
I don't know if you should be Jodie Foster.
Yeah, because then someone will shoot Obama to try and impress you.
Right, like Barron would shoot like a president to try to impress her. Yeah.
After reading Catcher in the Rye. Or is that John?
That's
Mark David Chapman.
What the hell is happening in this episode? What are we doing?
We're just in such a strange room. I want to walk around and check every single tree in this room.
Okay, you find a fishing lure.
I immediately found a fishing lure.
Barron, I found the lure.
My God, thank you so much. Yeah.
So you're just looking around the room. I mean, there is.
Della's going to appeal. What's really, Can I appeal for a little more healing by any chance?
Oh yeah. I will do a cure light on you.
Can we ask a Wigga for healing?
Oh yeah.
Wigga does not have healing.
Nine. Like, I do not have
awesome
properties.
And I'm gonna. Della has a potion that I'm also gonna drink.
Lork, you're looking around, and you know you've been around enough to know that this plant life you see it's a wide variety. But not only is it a wide variety, it looks like it's come from all over the place. You see bamboo that it looks like it's from Tianjia, teak trees from Vudra, vines from the Mwangi Expanse, and then stranger, unrecognizable plant life that you've never seen, but you know would not be come from the Ghostlight Marsh area. So there's stuff from all over. So then it makes sense that like maybe if Della got here from some experimentation with planes, that maybe this plant life was also coming from
some kind of botanical nexus.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, it's 13 points. I forgot about the empowered.
Would that affect the potion as well or no?
I think it's just think spells, it's just spells of the healing subtype. Yeah.
All right.
This is the worst greenhouse I've ever been to, by the way.
They're usually not this dangerous.
Yeah.
I think you can make an argument that potions are boosted too. Aren't they liquid spells?
Yeah, go ahead. Boost your potion. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's only plus 50%.
Right, yeah.
Plus 50% of the caster or
of what
you roll.
Yeah, that makes sense. It the spell is stored in that potion.
Yeah, and it's the spell of the healing subtype.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And you'll need it.
Oh, I have the wand too. I keep forgetting.
If you
wand.
Hit me like twice, I should be helpful. I should be good.
Okay. Hit me with your best wand.
All right. Okay, so yeah, I'll examine this stairwell. Is it going down? Or is it going up?
It is going up into the tree. More. It's almost identical to the one that you came into on the other side of the room.
All right, so we have come across this garden, and now we're going up. Now, from a directional perspective, I mean, which way are we headed now?
This is on the south side of the room. So are you going into the tree to look?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, just place me again. I know we're under the bridge we originally crossed, right?
Right. So
are we moving across it perpendicularly?
Well, so when you entered the floral bloom, when you first came in, you were going east, okay? And then the bridge was going west to east. So you kept walking east. Now, underneath you are this big tree is south, and the tree that you came in is the north.
All right,
side.
So we're moving perpendicularly. Okay.
Yeah,
perpendicularly. So now we're heading north.
No, now you'd be heading south.
We're heading south. Okay. Yeah. Great. Then, I'll check out the stairs. I'd like to poke my head in and...
Poke your head in, and you see a set of double doors identical to the ones on the other side of the room within the hollow tree.
All right, let me know when you're ready, and we'll move forward through these doors. Della, are you feeling better?
Feeling much better.
Yeah, I've been wanding her and myself while you guys have been talking.
Not dirty at all.
Nope.
Jeepers. Felch.
All right, fall in behind me.
All right,
Della, stay close,
and I will open the door, or at least attempt to.
Okay, Lork opens the door. Roll a will save. No.
we didn't check for traps.
Okay, you see a corridor that looks like it's wrapping around to the right of the room. pretty thin, 5 feet wide. You can see it's starting to widen off to your right, but still not a very wide corridor.
But at the moment, we're inside a hollow tree.
Right. At the moment, you're still inside a hollow tree.
Can I do a quick perception check for elves?
Sure.
Oh, they're of the Keebler subtype.
Yeah.
Archetype.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, you don't see any elves.
Well, then mine.
Numerous flowers cling to the myriad vines and creepers growing over every inch of this curving corridor. Right when you open the doors, you're just smacked in the face with a powerful bouquet of floor fragrances and all like just earthy, like a freshly mowed lawn.
We're physically hit in the face with the bouquet.
Right. You're going to be the next bride.
And it goes to Lork.
Oh, Lork.
No, it's going to be it's who dies next.
Who caught the garter? So the entire corridor, as far as you can tell, obviously you haven't walked in and started walking around, is just creeping with vines and weird flowers. All sorts of shit. But you can walk through. It's not difficult terrain. It's just like a living corridor.
And is it pretty, or does it look like foreboding?
It smells pretty, but it's like that smell where it's too much flowers. Do you know what I mean? Like, whew, yeah, all right, there's too many.
When you walk into Macy's,
competing fragrances. Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by the Macy's smell.
All right.
Calvin
will...
Klein, Jassan. Jassan by Calvin Klein. Yeah.
He already has an ale.
Yeah.
Thanks to Baron.
It's all about branding.
All right, Lork will take Barry Connick Jr. and start making his way into the along this corridor, and I want to do a perception on the ground for any sort of Barry Connick Jr. traps.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but
bear traps. Well, you know, like
bear literal bear traps.
Like, well, things that are like we used to call them bear traps when we were a kid, like leaves over top of a hole kind of thing, you know?
Oh,
like,
oh yeah.
We fall
through. There a lot of bears in suburban Philadelphia?
You'd be surprised, man. We're near the Poconos.
Aren't they called, they're tiger traps, aren't they?
Is that, yeah.
Like a bear traps are those, like that? Are like those steel
traps. I know what like a...
Cheesesteak traps. That's what we called them.
All right. I'm just looking to make sure they're sure footing.
All right. Yeah. So show me how far you're walking into the room. Like only go up to your speed if you want to go half speed or whatever you want. Okay.
I'll follow behind you.
Okay. So you can only fit like three of you in there. So it's going to be Lork followed by, I got to get used to saying this, Barry Connick Jr. and Della. And then Iwiga, Baron, and Galabro are still outside of the room in the hollow tree. That is someone vacuuming upstairs. That's really fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a real professional studio.
Yeah, we're really, really killing it today. With this app.
All right, so perception?
Yeah, man. Roll your perception.
15.
You don't see any traps, per se, but you... it's just earth. It's a dirt.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't see any leaves. Like, don't step there.
Is there a ceiling on this? I forgot to ask that.
It's the vines are making the ceiling similar to the first room that you walked in.
Can we see sunlight coming
in?
Yeah,
that perpetual sunlight is still making its way through. It's almost beautiful, but eerily, hauntingly beautiful, this room. And the flowers are very strange in this room. They're like crimson violet flowers with little... There's things on the petals that are very
strange. They're going to spray stuff at us.
Yeah. Can I do a survival check on the flowers?
Sure.
13.
13. You look at the flowers, and it looks like the petals themselves have tiny faces on them.
Oh, weird.
Ooh. And Lork, creepy. Barry Connick Jr., and Della need to roll a fortitude save.
Oh, God.
Excuse me. A will save.
Oh, God. 22 for Della.
14 for Lork. And a 12 for Barry.
You guys enter the room. Lork's looking at the ground. Della's checking out the flowers. Right as you notice those tiny faces, Barry Connick Jr. falls asleep, and one of these creepy vine flowers just emitted like this pollen. And Barry Connick Jr. falls asleep. Roll for initiative.
Poppies. Oh,
shit. I just picture him like curling up, like with this little smile. It's like, doesn't know he's about to be in a lot of trouble.
1 million YouTube views later. Adorable bear falls asleep with flowers.
That was good. All right.
That would be that would go viral instantly. It would,
yeah. Yep.
Okay, what did everybody get? Anybody over 20?
25.
Of course, Baron. Crushing it.
I can't get in the room.
What? Any 19s, 18s, 17s? 15?
8 for Lork.
Okay, Lork and
8 for Della as well.
Okay, I'm assuming Della has the higher initiative bonus. And Galabras?
11.
11 for Galabras. Okay, Baron, you can see into the room. You see Barry Connick Jr. go unconscious.
But I can't see the flower thing that came out?
No, it's basically, I put it on the map in front of Lore because it's only a 5-foot state, but that flower is right next to Barry Connick Jr. and it's slowly moving towards him. And you just see Barry Connick Jr. fall asleep.
I'm going to...
For, by the way, 3 minutes.
I'm going to let the room know. I'm not going to take any action. I'm going to hold my action until I see what happens, but I'm just going to let everyone know, because you might not have seen it, that he's asleep. Okay. Y'all, Barry's asleep. Watch out.
The flower comes off, like the viney, flowery mess, goes on to Barry Connick Jr.'s space, and it looks like it's starting to devour him. Roll a fortitude save for Barry Connick Jr.
19.
Okay. Nothing. It doesn't do any
So wait. I'm just having a hard time picturing it. So it's a flower. Tricky.
So it's and like it looked a like flowery a pretty... vine. It doesn't look like it can move very fast, but it's on the wall, and it just kind of came off the wall and went on, occupied the same space.
So there's like multiple vines multiple that are kind of going around.
Just moving around, and you could see the flower... The head of the flower looked like it was munching on him, but it didn't do any damage. Roll a will save to see if he wakes up.
5.
Nope, he remains asleep. Lork and Della roll another will save.
Oh, jeez. Another will save for Lork. 20.
20 for Della, too.
Okay. More pollen. Enters the room, and there are flowers on the wall next to both of you. But you saved on whatever this sleep-inducing pollen was. And now it is Galabras' turn.
I'm going to step up and give Della a bit of luck.
Thanks.
Okay. And now it is Della's turn. Della, you see the flower occupied the same space as Barry Connick Jr., and there's one on the wall next to you that looks like it's coming at you. It just spat pollen at you.
Can I do a survival check or a knowledge arcana to see if I know anything about it?
You can do a knowledge nature.
I don't have knowledge nature.
You can't do shit.
All right. I'm going to spend a point out of my arcane pool to make my scimitar flaming.
Flaming a scimitar. Yeah.
And then I'm going to attack the vine next to me.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Whoa! This chick's got skills.
So I roll twice to confirm, right?
Yes, you do.
16 to confirm.
Oh, because of a bit of luck.
Yeah.
16 confirms. Nice. You just crit this thing.
Nice.
Nice, nice, nice.
Slashing, right?
Yep.
Fingertipped. Normal damage and 1 dex damage. Target cannot use one hand until healed.
Okay. Roll how that applies the damage.
To fine.
You know, you slashed into it, so it'll take its dexterity damage. Well,
Is that relevant?
Yeah.
It's like what you can do is like if it's completely irrelevant, you can just give him max damage. You know what I mean? Like in those cases when the effect is irrelevant.
Right. I mean, it has pretty high dex, so
that's relevant.
It's going to help it. Yeah.
Okay.
So. So it's max damage.
Whoa.
So that's 9 points of regular damage and 6 points of fire damage.
Ooh. Whatever this thing was, you just killed it.
Nice.
The little faces. I want them to scream, but they don't scream.
I have no mouth and I must scream. Can Baron shoot at the vines that are on Barry Connick Jr. right now? Or would it be like shooting right into him?
Yeah, I mean, just realistically, you probably can in the mechanics of the game, but I don't think you would do that.
Okay, and there's nothing else I can see. I just don't want to waste my whole turn this round.
Sure, sure. That's all you see. You see them steeling themselves against something, and Barry Connick Jr. fell asleep, and now it is Lork's turn.
Can I use my falchion to swat away the vines from Barry?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can attack the creature, basically.
Yeah, does it take a minus if you're attacking a grappled creature? I never freaking remember this.
I've never seen any rules that say that you take a minus to attack a grappled creature. But
okay.
So it's up to you. If not, I can attack the other one. But I think you would try to protect
that
Barry.
Is Lork's nature. So yeah, until we know the real answer, let's bang it out.
Okay. I am not going to do a power attack. Just going to swing, Screed's Falch. Miss. Well, 13.
Hit.
Oh! Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Always ask. You never know.
You do never know. 11 points of damage.
And you kill the one on top.
Oh, all right. Nice. All right. Excellent.
That was just going to attempt to do whatever it was trying to do to Barry Connick Jr. You kill it. There's still one on the wall next to you. Baron.
I can shoot at that guy.
Yeah, you'll take a -4 because you're shooting into melee and you are 10 feet away. But yeah, you could totally shoot it on the wall. And you can also enter the room. I mean, you can walk past your allies. You can move through your allies.
I'm good.
Okay. This would be good for up close and deadly because they don't have many hit points and you'd probably reduce it below 0, get your good point back.
Okay. I guess I'll try.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's Barry Connick Jr.'s turn. But now
does he get any save or anything right now? Or
no. Okay. But then it goes to round two, and now it's Barry's turn.
Oh!
28 to hit.
Oh, that hit.
Yeah.
Bullet whizzes past Lork's head, hits this thing right in the middle of it.
10 points of damage.
And you destroy the third fly.
Nice!
Huh.
So strange. Sure enough, another one appears.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
And
we gotta get out of this room fast.
Lork has to roll a fortitude save.
Fortitude or will?
I'm sorry, will. Sure, I keep screwing up. Will save.
7.
Lork falls asleep.
Did a Wigga go, by the way?
No, she's outside the room, doesn't know what's going on. Not
I had a feeling. It's like, we got to get through here.
Lork
fast.
Is asleep for 3 minutes.
God.
As of right now. And the hallway is pretty blocked right there. And there are more in the room.
Shit.
And you can see them just kind of inching their way forward. They move very slow, but they're on the wall just... These creepy little faces on them. I'll put the picture up on the Tumblr. It has, in the bestiary, they have it wrapped around a tombstone. But just look at those things.
Oh, weird.
They got like little, they look like the painting, The Scream.
Yeah.
That face on the little flower petals.
The flowers kind of look like poinsettias as well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they're beautiful
Which
flowers.
Is actually
poisonous.
And traditionally a druidic flower.
Oh.
In actual druidic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at Paizo thinking about these things.
They're smart. Okay, and those things are just, all they do is inch closer to Lork, and now it is Galabras' turn. Galabras, you saw Barry Connick Jr. fell asleep, now you see Lork, boom, hit the ground. Man. What is going on in this room?
Can I move through... Oh my god, that's horrifying.
That is creepy.
What the fuck was that?
The flowers are making sounds.
Do I have room to move through so I can get into melee with one of these things?
Yeah, you can, because you can move through ally spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be tight, but you can get through there.
I want to get into melee with one of them and swing the hammer of Ooscroth.
Okay.
12.
12 hits.
Nice.
Okay, so this is the, you are attacking the one that put Lork to sleep?
Yep. Okay. And eight points of damage.
8 points of damage, and you kill it.
Yeah, all right.
Kill it. Yeah, they're not super powerful. They just have a horrible thing. Right when Galabras walks into the room, he hacks at it, and then they both shoot pollen at Galabras. Galabras roll 2 will saves.
18 and 15.
18 and 15. You're all right.
Yes!
We gotta get up. We gotta get up.
Go. Okay, it is Della's turn.
So it would be, can I spend a standard action to rouse Lork?
Yes, you can. It's a full round action.
Full round action. Yeah. So I couldn't do it. I have to move to him and then rouse him.
You know what's tough is you can't occupy the same space as an ally, and sleeping Barry Connick Jr.
All right.
Is right there between you.
So I'm going to, that flower.
You could wake the bear.
I could wake the bear.
You could fire a crossbow bolt at Lork. That would wake him up.
That would wake him up. Well, is that
get up!
The plant that Galabras is in melee with is dead now, right?
Yes. Okay. There's 2 remaining. I think you've killed 4 at this point.
Yeah.
There's 2 remaining that you can see.
I'm going to move forward 5 squares to get in melee with the last one and swing at that with the next one. That one's dead.
Okay, so you moved all the way to the end of the room. No, that one's still alive.
That one's still alive.
Yeah, there was one. Galabras attacked the one that was next to Lork.
Okay, then I'll attack the first one.
All right, so you attack the first one. Go for it. With your flaming.
It's not. Oh, yeah, it's still flaming. It's still,
plus 1 flaming scimitar, right?
Yep. 18 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
This'll do it.
So it says 8 points of damage.
8 points of damage. That's all it takes to kill these things. Not super powerful. You just don't want it to devour. Okay. Lork, unconscious. Bear. Barry Connick Jr. I got to write that here. Unconscious. So round 3, Baron.
Do I have a line of sight?
You do not.
Okay, so where I'm standing, I think I can rouse Lork with a full round action.
You absolutely can.
So I reach down to Lork. I pour a little whiskey on his lips. I rub it in with my thumb and I say, "Rise, Lork, rise."
I thought you were just going to hit him with the butt of your gun.
Boom, stand up.
Pistol whip. All right. And Lork wakes up.
Awesome.
You're still on the ground. And now it's Galabras' turn. There is 1 flower remaining that you can see.
I step up to the flower and swing at it with my hammer. 7.
Miss. And now it is the flower's turn.
Wait, 8!
You killed it. No. Okay. It inches forward. Della, Galabras, and the newly wakened Lork all roll a will save.
If he falls right back asleep, that's going to be terrible.
9.
Natural 1.
Oh, fuck me.
Della?
10.
All 3 of you fall asleep.
Oh,
Lork goes back to sleep. Della and Galabras pass out. Boom, boom. Oh.
You gotta see this map right now. There's 4 it's characters ridiculous. Just asleep.
Flaming scimitar.
Flaming scimitar. Burning the vegetation.
it's laying on top of Galabras, the flaming scimitar.
What a ridiculous map. This is 4 sleep characters.
Owiga's like, what's going on?
I don't remember this.
So much has changed.
Turn around, I can't see.
All right, so Della asleep, Lork asleep, Barry Connick Jr. asleep. Round 4, Baron. The hallway is now clogged. You have no line of sight on this thing.
It's
clogged
with sleeping
bodies. That is true. Yeah, it's going to get cover because you're shooting around a corner. You can't enter into the room. So it'll get a bonus to its AC.
Why can't he enter the room?
There's no space he can occupy.
He can a prone. It's the same as a dead body, so he could stand over.
Right, for the purposes I'm saying, he can't stand in the same space, but there is that one space in the room, so you can back in there and you do have a clear shot. This is huge.
Yeah. 28.
28? Let me just check. Yep.
7 points of damage.
Not enough. You guys rolled 8 damage a couple times. It has 8 hit points.
Wow.
7 damage.
I knew that was going to happen. Can I, as a move action, reach into my pocket for my bandana and cover my mouth?
You cannot because you moved into the room.
Got it. No, he took a 5-foot step.
Nope. He was on the other side of Ewiga.
5 foot step.
Five, ten. Oh, diagonally into the room. All right, you can.
So I see this pollen hit my friends, and they all get knocked unconscious.
That's smart. Okay, this thing.
Bottle cap?
This thing crawls. Oh, get out of here. You'll be lucky if I give you a bonus to your will save. Oh, boy. This thing crawls over Galabras. Galabras, roll a fortitude save.
No, no, no.
11.
Oh, boy.
It starts to.
Galabras, you take 2 points of con damage.
Sucking the life out of you.
It's literally sapping the life out of your body. But where it did do that, you do have a will save to try and wake up from this feeding.
25.
So as it's you wake up to a vine covered in flowers just draining your body of life. Galabras is now
so
awake.
Creepy.
Del is asleep. Lork's asleep. Bear's asleep. Round five. These are flying through, Baron.
We don't get checks to wake up at the beginning of each round?
Only if it's feeding on you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said earlier that when the vine was on Barry Connick Jr. that I couldn't make a shot. I'm trying to say it without any smile. That I couldn't make a shot at him. It wouldn't make sense. Now that it's on Galabras, could I do so?
It's tough. I'm going to say no. I think mechanically you can, but it just wouldn't make sense that you would shoot at a tiny little vine covering your friend.
Okay.
Plus it makes more sense.
He's a badass gunslinger, though.
That's true.
Would Clint Eastwood be able to do it?
Can he shoot to move the vine off of Galabras?
I actually have.
I mean, I guess you just, technically you just take a minus to it, but I think it's... It's such a clogged corridor. Maybe I'm stunting you by not letting you do it. So let's say you take a minus.
I think it can do it.
Minus six to hit.
Minus six to hit?
Yeah. I'm going to let you do it, but it's going to be complicated. I don't do enough stuff like that.
18 to hit.
You hit it. And you kill it.
Yeah. I like that. Like a bullet hits and flies off of me.
Yeah. I need to do more stuff like that rather than just saying no. Just make it a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Well, and think about how cinematic that would be. Right. I look down the barrel of my pistol very carefully, lining it up in my iron sights.
Right.
I slowly inhale, hold it, know that my friend's life is on the line and I don't want to hurt him, pull the trigger, pa-ding, and knock it off him.
Yeah.
Kills it and blabbers. And yes, the flowers, these skeletal faces, just they all wither and die.
Weird. All right.
Could somebody do, just for my own curiosity,
so creepy,
a nature check to see what these things are?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get a chance until I fell asleep.
It's like, what are these things?
I'm assuming you guys wake everyone up.
And Galabras feels very weak.
All right, I want to do a knowledge niche.
Oh, I'm going to cast the lesser restoration on myself.
Okay, and that heals damage, right? I always forget the difference between damage and drain.
That heals damage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drain, like ability drain is something you need a higher level spell or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's a higher level
spell. So is that a continuous effect? Does it keep ticking?
No, if it had kept feeding, then it would. But no, it was just a one-time thing.
And was it damage?
Yeah, it was con damage.
Oh, yeah. Lesser restoration's fine.
Yeah, there's another thing I can't remember. It's a lot harder to remove.
Right. Yeah, I got my con back.
Okay. All right.
I did.
What's level spell is that?
Second,
so that's tough.
Yeah, I did 18 knowledge nature.
18 knowledge nature. Okay, that is more than enough. Well, you notice these things are called Xtabays. Xtabay. Very strange creatures. They're just small plants, and sure enough, that's what they do. They put you to sleep, and then just... sap your con until you die. Like, they don't do a lot of damage, but I mean, if you only have 10 con, will only take 5-6 rounds, you're permadead.
Sure.
Where are they from? Can I do a geography check?
Let me resolve the rest of Lork's thing, and then I can tell you a little more about that. The one thing you notice is it seems like they were put here so that, you know, as protection. So it would knock any invaders to sleep. And probably before when the council was still here, they would go remove the trespassers before the Xtabays could devour them.
Right.
Because they're not evil people. They just wanted to have a security system in place, basically.
Right.
You do notice...
So the plants, I would think of them as, like, neutral, basically. Like, they're not, like, evil creations.
They are neutral, indeed. Yep.
They were just, that's what their nature is to do. Now, you do notice with the 18, I think you rolled knowledge nature, that several of the flowers growing in the hall can be used to make incense and perfume. And if you wanted to spend an hour harvesting them, you could probably find about 200 gold worth of like stuff to make for incense and perfume. I don't think Lork would want to do that, but you know that there's...
I would definitely do that.
Yeah, like the seeds you found before. These aren't huge things, but like when you finally get to a market, you found all those exotic seeds. Now you find stuff that you can use to make incense and perfume. You'll be able to kind of...
This is actually how money. I'm going to make Jason's Calvin Klein fragrance. Right here. It's done.
You actually, if you could spend probably... Lork knows just because of his... oneness with nature, you could spend up to 5 hours here and get 200 gold worth of incense and perfume materials five times. You could get 1,000 gold if you wanted to spend 5 hours in this room just harvesting all
time
the flowers.
Time has no meaning in this
place.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's do it.
And as to Galabras, where are they from?
You want to do a can I do a planes check on that?
No, it's still going to be nature. They're nomadic plants. Okay. So they traverse large expanses of land.
Are you saying flowers migrate?
Yes, these weird magical devouring flowers do. Until they have, like, they can sense life, and once they sense a lot of life, then they stay there forever. So wow. And they just lie dormant, taking on the guise of harmless flowers while releasing their deceptive aroma.
Deceptive nice. Aroma. I love that.
It's a good band name.
Yeah.
All right. So,
This is cool. Just this thing. It says, because of their carnivorous nature, Zatabays only rarely run short on nutrients, consuming the entirety of a victim's body over the course of several days following the initial process of draining its blood.
Oh,
That's pleasant.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And they also had acid within them, too. If they had just done regular attacks instead of that, like, they would have dealt acid damage as well, similar to the Tendriculus.
Huh.
But we could talk about flowers all day.
Lork would like to continue in the hallway and just see what's at the other end.
Okay, so you walk to the other end of the room. Sure enough, there's a set of doors.
Mm.
Dun-dun-dun, ba-dun-dun, doors.
Is that... It's the Sports Center doors?
Yep.
Next up on Plant Center.
This double door brought to you by Gatorade.
So there are a set of double doors at the end. The hallway did, in fact, widen. So towards the end of the hallway, you can fit two side by side, whereas at the first portion, you're all like single file. And there are doors leading out.
All right, I'd like to do a perception on the door.
Okay.
Any traps or anything shady?
I'll aid you.
22.
And I aid.
Okay.
24.
That I count.
I was hoping you'd roll like a 1, and I was going to say, you see a lovely window. No, it's like all these other doors.
Okay.
It's made of, there's no branches covering it like the council chamber and the first floral bloom door, but it's, you know, made of the natural ingredients.
Okay. Great. Then if it's cool with you guys, Lork will open the door.
Open it.
Okay. You open the door and you see another hollow. You're inside another hollow of a tree that wraps around and more stairs leading out.
Up or down?
Down.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, down. Going deeper.
Deeper into the Vault of Thorns.
Okay. We'll start slowly down the stairs. Down. Perceiving for danger along the way.
Okay, roll a perception.
I'll do as well.
16 for Lork.
Okay.
15 for Della.
Everything seems to be perfectly fine and safe in this weird druidic demiplane.
And it only makes sense for people at the front of the pack to do these checks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just thinking about like a woman at an incense or whatever, a perfume counter, like explaining, like, now this one is really rare. This came from a demiplane.
Yeah. The
druidic demiplane.
Yeah. I'm not even supposed to show you this. My boss is on lunch.
People died recovering.
a wolverine and a witch died.
To bring you this perfume.
So you go down the stairs. And there's you feel like you're in a giant tree, basically, at this point. There's a wall at the end, and then the corridor turns. You can see up ahead, it turns to the left. Do you keep
walking? Okay, yeah. I will keep walking, and I will poke my head around to the corner.
Poke your head around.
Tell everybody to stay back, and I'll just peek my head around to the left.
Okay, you peek your head around, and you see the corridor stretches far, just a 10-foot-wide corridor, probably stretches for 50 feet or so, and you can see that it ends in another set of double doors.
Ban on it. Ban on it.
Top 10 double doors. Number one, the vault door.
Lights washing over in red and white. Okay, so I would like to do perception on the floor and walls between myself and the door.
Okay. Looking
for anything shady. 12.
I'll do a perception as well.
You've never felt more safe.
Della got a natural one on a perception.
Della rushes down the hall.
Eyes closed.
Skips along.
I don't see anything.
It's as creepy as everything else, but you get the sense that everything is sloping down. You're going deeper and deeper into this place. And so this 50-foot, 60-foot long corridor, similar to the one that led you down into the greenhouse, it's going down, 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 and the doors at the end. But it's all vine-choked. Leaves, you see that perpetual sunlight coming through.
Weird.
But there's not like, let me just walk into this forest. It's everything's so thickly settled that you only have 10 feet with which to deal with.
Okay. Then I'll continue to move up slowly, cautiously toward the door.
Okay.
As well.
Double door.
And here, clink! And a bear trap goes off. You fall into a hole and find 17 cheese sticks.
Oh my God.
I knew it. I knew it.
The perfect trap for Joe.
Yep. You make your way to the double doors at the end.
17. That's too many cheese sticks. I'm picturing like
it's the best trap ever.
I'm just picturing there's like somebody's holding the fishing lure with the cheese steak dangling on the end. Mark is like, oh, look.
Hey, it's my fishing lure. Hey, it's a cheesesteak.
You make it to the end, and you see the same sort of double doors you've been seeing, but this wood looks like it's decaying from the outside in. Right? So, like, from the other side of the door, whatever is seeping through, it's seeped through to the other side, and the wood is, like, rotten and black. It stinks. You almost have to cover your mouth. It smells so bad.
Oh, geez.
Can I turn? Do I notice this as well?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are on the map as single file, but Baron could totally step forward.
Can I ask a Wigga why something like this would happen in this vault? I mean, she was partially responsible for creating it. What type of energy could make something so vibrant and lush decay like this?
She says, well, as I mentioned before, there has been great evil that has seeped into the vault. It seems as if whatever... perhaps the cause of this evil has found its home here, beneath the vault, at its farthest depths. I sense horrific evil on the other side of this door. If it has the power enough to corrupt such a beautiful place as the Vault of Thorns, to even look at this door and see its presence.
You believe this rotting wood is caused by evil?
Yes.
Not some natural effect?
A combination of both, most likely. Whatever has taken root in here is very bad.
Baron, you have any more of those bandanas? It smells horrible up here.
I typically only have mine. Sorry.
Well, fuck you.
Well, what if I was a magician and I pulled it out of my sleeve? And it's like,
they just kept coming.
What? Or if he was a roadie for Aerosmith, maybe he'd have like a whole bunch of them.
I mean, you could tear up a blanket or something.
Can I take a cloth of some kind and cover my face if it smells that bad?
Sure. I mean, you don't feel like it's going to make you sick, like you're going to sick, but it's just
it's just blight.
Yeah.
It's just like a blight.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. Then I will carefully... I won't open the door just yet. I'm just going to touch the door. Put my hand on the door and see if I feel anything.
Touch the door, and it almost is rotting under the pressure of your hand. But it's about to fall to pieces. You feel like it can be easily pushed in.
You know what we should
do
here?
Wet wood.
What should we do here, Matthew?
We haven't done this on the podcast yet, I don't think.
What?
We need to kick in a door. Come on.
All right. Lore kicks in the door.
His foot goes straight. Your foot goes like straight into the door, basically, and comes out the other side. And you're kind of like lodged in this wet, moist wood.
Ugh.
But it does open with you. So you can easily like pull your foot up.
Gross.
Your leg up.
It's like Naked Gun with OJ.
Yeah.
The first scene.
It's true. And you see quite a room ahead of you. Do you enter, or are you just peeking in?
Well, what do I see first?
Right. 17 ogres.
You see a pit in front of you. It's filled with alligators.
All right, I enter. No, I'm kidding. I was being Lork, seeing the alligators.
You look into the room, and you see a very large, arched chamber. And it immediately provides a grim contrast to the vault's other life-filled rooms. Instead of lush vegetation that you've grown used to as you've been walking through here, there's a massive briar patch and layers of thick humus forming high mounds throughout the room. You see these mounds that are like 30 feet high all throughout the room.
Wait, why is there hummus?
Let's run that back.
H-U-M-U-S.
It's filled with hummus?
It's filled with hummus.
Are there pitas to go with it? Or?
No, there are no pitas.
Is there any wine?
Oh,
no, I knew this place was evil.
It truly is evil.
Without humus, without pita.
Who would have humus without pita?
What the hell? Humus is like...
It's like decaying leftovers from mowing the lawn, like when you empty the bag, any type of stuff like that.
Right, so there's a massive briar patch and these layers of thick humus forming mounds throughout the room. So there are several, half a dozen or so. They look to be about 30-foot high mounds. Hundreds of varieties of fungi choke out any attempt for healthy plants to root in this room. And the air is heavy with the stench of decay. These mounds are twisting throughout the room. You can tell they form a complex warren throughout the chamber. So like walking through, some of them are touching each other, you can't get through. Some of them, for the most part, they're like 5 feet apart. So it makes like a maze, basically, to get to the other end of the room. And what do you see at the chamber's eastern end?
Oh, I can see it from here.
the highest of all the mounds, 50 feet tall.
It looks Whoa.
Like. Jesus.
Whoa.
And you see on top of that mound, a large, swollen wooden chest.
Oh. With like a single beam of light coming down on it, the motes floating in the light.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The ceiling is 60 feet high in this chamber. You've got those 30-foot mounds. It looks like compost, soil, all sorts of shit. Masses of thorny vines. And then the one at the end is 50 feet tall. Right when you open the door, a bunch of rodents just kind of scurry out.
Shadow rats.
And you guys see rats run over your feet, and you're like, gross.
We have bad memories of those.
Yeah. Rotting mulch, fungi, it stinks. And the rats look like they're looking for food.
Della's like, why are you afraid of rats?
I love rats.
Rats are great.
It's a long story. And Galabras looking at this room that they kind of says under his voice, almost to himself, "We should have rested."
You should have rested. Good point. All right, so we got Lork there at the head of the room with Della at his side, and Barry Connick Jr. behind him, Baron behind Della, and then Iwiga and Galabras in the back, still in the corridor. Well, you're all in the corridor. What do you do?
Can we do a perception to see? Are you going to make us enter the room and then do a perception?
I mean, depends what you want to see.
Go ahead.
I want to look up at the ceiling to see if there's anything like hidden up there that could swoop down and...
Sure, sure. Yeah, you can roll a perception for that. You can kind of look up.
Is it still sunlight coming through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's bright. It's not dim in here.
It's bright, but the brightness is overshadowed by the just rot.
Natural 20.
Natural 20. You see nothing up there. Just more thorn. The vegetation from the ground, the gross thorns have like reached up all the way to the ceiling. It's choked all life from the room. And it's funny, because even though you've faced all this danger and horrible fey creatures, at least everything was beautiful. This is disgusting.
Go ahead, Joe.
What can you, sorry, I just, is everything difficult terrain in here?
Nope. Just okay. If you want to go up and over the mounds.
And how high are the mounds?
30 feet high. The one at the end looks to be 50.
So they're
feet
all
high.
Roughly 30, and then the one at the end is 50.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So Lork's concern, tactically speaking, as a ranger, is if anything is up on these things and can shoot down at us, like we're in a horrible position. Like we cannot take fire from up there, and you know what I mean. Like, so I'd be looking.
I'll tell you from a gaming perspective, if you're on higher ground, you get a bonus to hit.
Yeah,
you know, which also applies to you guys. I think it's a plus one or a plus two.
Plus one. Yeah,
if you're shooting or from higher ground.
And there could be things inside. That's the other thing. Not just on top.
Maybe they're pinatas and they're full of candy.
Mmm.
That's what they are. Yes, that's what it is.
So Lork is going to move 5 feet into the room right up to the start of the first mound. And then I want to go sort of to Lork's left around the mound slowly and kind of peek around the backside, because there's a mound right in front of us and I don't know what's on the other side of it.
Right. So you step into the room and go around to the left, and you see that between the wall and the mound, you would have to squeeze to get through.
Okay.
So you and Barry Connick Jr. are right there. Barry Connick Jr. could make it through with ease. I mean, you can get through. I'm not going to make you roll.
But there's nothing back there.
Squeeze. You don't see anything. You just see another mound.
And I look up the slope of the mound on the backside, and there's nothing up.
Looking up? Yeah, thorns and compost.
Okay.
What is Della Baron Galabras doing?
Della will step in and peek around. She'll step up to the mound on the right side, and she'll peek around to see, right like there, and just peek around to see if she can see anything on top of the other mounds.
Okay, so Della enters the room. Lork and, like, I always want to say Ben Vereen, Barry Connick, are to the left of the first mound. Della comes in, goes around to the other side, and looks at two other mounds. These 30-foot mounds that are close together to your right, and you're just looking up at them, kind of looking in them.
Yeah, I want to do the same thing Lork does. Is anything lurking on top of them? Anything lurking on the side of them?
You don't see any movement whatsoever.
All right.
Baron.
Baron's reminded of The Last of Us, and he's afraid that these fungus are going to turn us into weird chittering zombies. So he wishes he had knowledge nature to look at those things. He'll really quickly ask Awiga if she had any memory of what this room once was before he heads in, and then he's going to head in.
She says, my memory is coming back to me faster by the moment as I see these things, but so much has changed, not only through the passage of the time, but through the presence of this great and powerful evil. I see the chest at the end of the room. I remember this to be where we stored our magnificent cache of items. No, this was... this room is nothing like what I remember. Okay. I can't even remember what we used it for, because so much has changed, but I do know that these bramble mounds were never here before.
Okay, I walk into the room, and I... is it possible to climb any of these mounds?
Yeah, you can climb.
I want to climb that first mound where I'm flanked on either side by my compatriots.
Okay, so the one that Lork went to the left of and looked up at. So right. You climb to the top of it. Pretty cool visual. I wish I had a map that had top topography. But you're up there 30 feet up just kind of looking, and you see the tops of all the other compost heaps, and you can see you're almost at the chest is on the other side of the room, but you get a really good view of it, and it is big fucking chest.
I want to take my falchion and just sort of slowly slide it into the mound. Is it like soil, or is it like a pile of shit, like compost?
It's soil, but there's vines as well. But you can definitely
I just want to slowly poke it in and see if there's anything.
You pull it out, and it's just gross. Covered, it's covered in gunk. It's wet. Okay. And gross. Galabras, what are you doing?
I step in next to Della on her right.
Okay. And you want to do any perception, any look?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of see the same things they saw. Basically, you can see to the tops. You don't see anything moving. Besides, the rats are still skittering about your feet, and you can easily kick them away. But they seem frightened and hungry.
Can I climb? I'm going to climb the mountain to my right.
Okay, so Galabras goes king of the mountain.
The fuck king of shit mountain?
How old is Galabras again? I always forget.
23?
He's 23, yeah. Braver by the day. Iwiga comes up to the doorway as well. She's like, what happened to this place? What blight came upon this room? And Lork, Barry Connick Jr., wedged in there behind the first mound, Baron on top of it, Della, your new companion, to the right of it, and then to the right of Della, on top of that mound, is Galabras. All of a sudden, you do hear movement. Like the sound of vines moving throughout the room. Everyone roll a fortitude save.
Oh, shit. So many saves.
Lork and Barry Connick.
9.
15 for Della.
21.
12 for Lork and 15 for Barry.
Baron. All of a sudden, you see Galabras, Della, and Lork, and Barry Connick Jr. start violently vomiting.
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
And it looks like Barry Connick Jr. is nauseated as well.
Am I able to ask?
Basically, they're all sickened, but Barry Connick Jr. is nauseated. And sickened.
Do you remember when I looked at it and he specifically said it doesn't look like the kind of thing that's going to make you sick? It doesn't smell like the kind of thing that's going to make you sick?
You did, because it wasn't that itself.
Uh-huh.
It was this giant, thorny creature comes out of the largest pile in the room. It like moves out of the pile like it was a part of it. Like it can move straight through it. This large... like you see two long vines covered in sharp thorns protruding from what appears to be a massive rotting bundle of barbs that's topped with a heap of berry red eyes.
Fuck me.
It comes out of the giant mound.
Feed me, Seymour.
It comes out of the giant mound and it's a plant, but you can see it looking at you in Baron. All of them around you start vomiting, and you see Barry Connick Jr. in really bad shape. And every single one of you can see in the eyes of your companions, you are 100% confident that not all of you will survive this room.
Oh, my God.
And we'll pick it up here next week.
Fuck this room. Fuck you. Fuck Little House, Shop of Horrors.
I'm so scared.